Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I am continuing to talk about spirit, soul, and body. It's not the greatest title, but that's just the way that I refer to it when God showed me that I was a spirit and that I had a spirit, soul, and body. It wasn't just my body or my soul that was changed at salvation. It was my spirit. When I saw this, it changed my life. And this is now my fourth week of teaching, and I tell you, I've been saying things that could change your life. I really believe that. This just lit a fire on the inside of me. I'm still excited about it. 45 years later, I am still just thrilled with what God has done in my life. And so I've been sharing the last few days about how we have the mind of Christ. It's not just available to us out there someplace, but in your born-again spirit, 1 Corinthians 2:16 says you have the mind of Christ. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 says you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27 says that you have a special anointing from God and it abides within you and you don't need anybody to teach you because that same anointing will teach you all things and is truth, and even as it has taught you, you shall abide in Him. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 10, it says, put on the new man. That's talking about the spirit part of us. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things passed away, all things become new. So the new man is talking about the spirit part of you. And Colossians 3:10 says, put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that has created him. So this mind of Christ is in your spirit. It's not in your brain up here. It's down here in your spirit. God has given you His supernatural wisdom. And some people think, well, what difference does that make? It makes a huge difference if you believe it's there. First of all, you can't release something that you don't believe that you've already got. Most Christians are asking God for wisdom as if they don't have it. And so you're, in a sense, starting from a position of unbelief. The Bible says you have the mind of Christ. You've been renewed in knowledge. You know all things. And yet most Christians say, God, I don't know what to do. Would you please speak to me? Well, you've already put yourself in opposition to those scriptures. The truth is you do have the mind of Christ. You've got it. And so that's the first step, is just knowing that you've got it is worth a lot. I mean, you know, an old blind squirrel will get a nut every once in a while if he just gets out there and tries something. But there's a lot of people that don't even try. They just, God, please speak to me. God, please do something. They don't even know that they have the mind of Christ. And so they're never going to stumble onto it. They're never going to receive this wisdom because they've started in opposition to the Word. The first thing you ought to do is to say, Father, I thank you. I do have the mind of Christ. And I don't have it up here in my little brain, but in my spirit, man, I've got the mind of Christ and I believe I'm receiving. That's a beginning place. And I tell you, if you started doing that, you would start seeing God use you in supernatural ways. And now I want to share with you just some really practical things about how do you draw this mind of Christ that's in your spirit. How do you get that knowledge that's in your spirit up here into your mind so that you can function and make decisions and do things? How is it that you draw this out? Let me go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and show you some of the things that the Apostle Paul said. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul said in verse 2, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Did you know that this is a totally different approach to preaching the gospel than what most people have today? Most people today, they put all of the emphasis on their speaking and on their oratory abilities. And we have people that are, you know, silver-tongued and they can do all of this stuff, but they don't ever demonstrate the power of God. It's kind of just theory with them. Paul is saying, I didn't do that. I determined not to know anything. I didn't come to you with excellency of speech or of wisdom. Man, I wanted your faith to stand in the power of God, not in my ability to speak and sway people. That's amazing what he said. And then in verse 6, he says, howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Man, this is amazing. He says, he had just been saying that it's not my great eloquence and things like this that I came to you with. I came demonstrating the power of God. And he says, but we do use wisdom. It's just not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world, because the world, they don't understand the things of God. And he says that if the people in this world would have had any wisdom at all, they would never would have crucified Jesus. If Satan's kingdom would have had any spiritual perception, the last thing they would have done is incite the crowd to crucify Jesus, because it was through the crucifixion, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus that our salvation was bought. And it was all prophesied. In the Old Testament, there's scriptures that talk about all of these things, and it was very clear. But you know, the devil, he's not dumb. He's just, I don't know what the right word is. I wouldn't say that he's dumb, but he doesn't have spiritual perception. The devil thinks in just carnal, natural terms. And if he would have had any smart at all, he would have done anything but crucify Jesus. But yet he played right into the hand of God. He confirmed and did everything that God said would happen, because he just doesn't have the ability to perceive spiritual truth. Likewise, people that are under the influence of the devil, they just can't see it. You know, once you get into the Word of God, like the Scripture says in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. That is so simple that if you are short on finances, what you need to do is give, and God will give it back to you. I mean, that's very clear. But did you know, to the natural mind, to the devil, and to people who think like the devil, that makes no sense at all. If you have a $100 need, and if all you have is $80, and if you give away $10 of it, then instead of moving towards meeting that $100 need, you're moving away from it. To the natural mind, which is exactly what it says right here in this chapter, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. To the natural mind, giving is subtracting. It's not addition. But to the person who has any spiritual perception, if you are operating in the wisdom of God, man, giving is the way to increase. It's not subtracting, it's multiplication. It's not even addition, it's multiplication. And I have proven this over and over and over and over again. So we are using wisdom. I am operating in wisdom, but it's not the wisdom of this world. Did you know I've had so many people. I couldn't tell you, but I'm sure it's thousands of people who've criticized me over us making our materials available for a gift of any amount. Did you know that we have 53% of the people who contact us and ask for our materials don't give a thing and we send it to them? My partners have enabled me to do that. And I've had people criticize me and say, that's stupid. You can't run a ministry that way. That's the way I'm running it. And you know what? The Word works. Most people would say, you aren't using wisdom. I'm not using the wisdom of this world, but I'm using the wisdom of God. And did you know that we now have to have about $3 million a month? And it all comes in. And over half the people that ask us for something don't give a thing, but the others make up the difference. It works. I'm telling you, there's many of you watching this program thinking, you can't live that way. You can't run a ministry that way. I've been doing it now for 45 years. And our actual expenses are around $2 million a month that we have to pay our bills. And we have about another million come in that we're applying towards this building that we're building in Woodland Park. The whole project We're going to build an entire Bible college campus, but the first step is about $32 million, and we're zeroing in. We're only about $5 million away from having that paid for, debt-free, no loans, and we're doing it by giving things away. Did you know people say, you can't do that. That's not wisdom. It's not the wisdom of the world, but it's the wisdom of God. It works. And this is what Paul is saying. He says, we use wisdom. It's just not the wisdom of the world. It's the wisdom of God. And look at what he said about this in verse 7. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Let me back up to verse 6. He also said, howbeit we use wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. And over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I want to remind you, this is the same letter. This wasn't written in chapter and verses. Sometimes when reading these letters in the Bible and they're divided into chapters, we think that it's a brand new subject or a brand new topic. This was written as one letter. It didn't have the chapter and verse divisions in it. And so this is the same author, Paul, speaking to the same group of people on the same subject. And look at the terminology he used in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And in verse 1, he says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto man, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. Put that together with 1 Corinthians, the same book, the same author, the same group of people. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. When Paul said he was speaking wisdom, but it was the wisdom of God in a mystery. And then he said that when he spoke in tongues, he was speaking mysteries in the Spirit. And notice also right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14, he says, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays. I've been saying that this mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2, 16, where it says we have the mind of Christ. 1 John 2, 20, we have an unction from the Holy One and we know all things. Colossians 3, 10, put on the new man which is renewed in knowledge. It's the spirit that is renewed in knowledge. It's the spirit that have the mind of Christ. And when you pray in tongues, 1 Corinthians 14, 14 says it's your spirit that prays. The part of you that has this mind of Christ, that has this special anointing and you know all things. And Paul said that the wisdom that he was speaking didn't come from the world. It didn't come from people. It was the mystery of the wisdom of God in a mystery. I believe in this same book he shows that that was because it was in his spirit and he had spoken in tongues. And when he spoke in tongues, speaking in tongues is like sticking a bucket down in your spirit and drawing out the mind of Christ, the wisdom of God. Because when you pray in tongues, you are praying in the Spirit, the part of you that has the mind of Christ. And it says that when you are speaking in tongues, you are speaking mysteries. The exact same thing that the Apostle Paul said that he was preaching. So here's what I'm trying to say. It's your born-again spirit, not your brain that knows all things. But in your spirit, you have the mind of Christ and you know all things. But how do you get it out? One of the ways, not the only way, but one of the ways is to pray in tongues. When you pray in tongues, you are praying the supernatural wisdom and mysteries of God. You're speaking them right out of your mouth. You know, one of the criticisms against speaking in tongues, people say that it's just gibberish. Nobody knows what you're saying. You're just wasting your time. But that's not true. The Bible says it's your spirit prays, the part of you that has the mind of Christ. And look at this verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 13. It says, wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. So verse 14 says, if you're praying in tongues, you're praying in the spirit. Your spirit is part that's praying. And then it says that if you pray in tongues, pray also that you interpret. Now, this isn't limited to just a church service. It is true that this was giving instructions about how they were supposed to conduct themselves in the church. And I'll grant you that this was talking about in the church, that if you are praying in tongues, you have to pray for an interpretation. And if there isn't an interpretation, if nobody's interpreting it, then you don't need to dominate the assembly, because it's better to speak words that everybody understands. And yet the Apostle Paul, right here in this same chapter, said that he spoke in tongues more than them all. And he was talking about that in the church, he would rather speak five words with his understanding than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. And so when he said that he spoke with tongues more than them all, that wasn't limited to just in church. He was talking about in his private time. He spoke in tongues. Speaking in tongues isn't something that only goes on in church. And so therefore, when it says that you're praying in tongues, this doesn't have to just apply to a message in tongues in church with an interpretation. But when you are by yourself and praying, your spirit is praying, and you're praying the hidden wisdom of God, and all you have to do is pray that you interpret. This isn't limited to only a church service. And I've learned that I can pray in tongues, and when I'm praying in tongues, all I've got to do is ask God for an interpretation, and God starts giving me supernatural wisdom. The mind of Christ and the anointing that I have, the unction, that, and I know all things in my spirit, 1 John 2:20, when I pray in tongues and ask for an interpretation, well, then that wisdom that's in my spirit, man, comes up here to my mind, and God starts showing me supernatural things. I tell you, I have seen this happen thousands and thousands of times. I do this. I prayed in tongues on the way into the office today and asked God for wisdom and for an interpretation so that as I ministered the word over television, that it would minister to people. I do this all of the time, and God has shown me supernatural things. You know, I've used this example before, but it's just a classic example that is profound in my life. It's made a huge impact. So even if you've heard this, you listen to it again and benefit from it. I've heard it a lot of times, and it still benefits me. But when we moved into this building that we're in right now, the one that you're seeing me in, it was a 110,000 square foot building, but only 10,000 square feet were usable. The rest of it was just warehouse. And so we had to remodel this building, and it was going to cost me $3.2 million to remodel this. And this is back when my income wasn't $3.2 million total in an entire year. I mean, it was just a huge step. And so we bought this building, and we took out a loan for this building originally. But then the renovation, the build-out of this warehouse was going to be $3.2 million. And the people that I took the loan from said that they would also give me a construction loan so that we could do this. So our total indebtedness would have been over $6 million on this building by the time we paid out the building loan. And so anyway, when I got the loan, they told me that they would give me the building, the construction loan, just in a week or two. Well, 9 months later, I still didn't have it. And every week they had been telling me, next week, next week. And it was 9 months later, and finally I met with the banker, and he said, let's just start the whole process over. And when he said that, I thought all I could see was another year or two delay. And our school was growing, that we had to have this facility. And I just knew that wasn't God's will to go another year or two before we even could start. And so I said, man, let me pray about this. And you know what I did? I did exactly what I'm teaching right here. I needed an answer. And the way I was trying to do things wasn't working. But I knew that in my spirit I had the mind of Christ. And I knew that I had an unction from the Holy One, and I knew exactly what to do. But I didn't know it up here. It was in my born-again spirit. So how did I get it out? You know what I did? I took off early. I went home, and I started praying in tongues. I prayed in tongues all the way home. And then when I got home, I have this trail on my property that I walk, and I specifically, I mean, I could do it without distraction, you know, of driving and stuff. And when I got home, I prayed, and I said, and I stood on these scriptures, Lord, when I pray in tongues, my spirit prays. And I know that I have an answer to this problem. And so I'm going to pray in tongues, and according to 1 Corinthians 14:13, if I pray in tongues, I should also pray for an interpretation. And so, Father, I'm asking you to interpret. I believe that my spirit knows exactly what to do, but I need it in my mind. Help me to interpret this. Show me what I need to do. And I started walking on that trail, and I didn't even get a quarter of a mile I mean, it was just 100 yards or something, praying in tongues and asking God for an interpretation. And all of a sudden, boom, like that, I had a thought come to me of a prophecy that had been given 2 years before when I began this process of trying to get a new building. And the Lord had spoken to me through this man and said, you aren't going to need a bank in this process. And I remember when that was spoken, I thought, I don't need a bank. What do I need to do? And he says, you have a bank. Your partners are your bank, and you're going to do this debt-free. And you know what? In the process of trying to get all of this stuff, look for a new building here, I'd just forgotten that. I think I probably could have used it so that I'd have gotten into this building with no indebtedness. But we bought the building originally on a loan, but then I couldn't get this construction loan. And as I prayed, the Lord said, you don't need a construction loan. Your partners are your bank. And you know, this was a big step because at that time, the way we had saved money, I sat down and took how much money we'd saved over a period of time and multiplied that out for us to come up with $3.2 million extra. At the way we had been saving, it would have taken over 100 years. In other words, there was no way in the natural. So I knew that if I committed to doing this, it could kill the ministry if I was wrong. So I prayed about it and I made sure. But eventually, I acted on that word, and in 14 months, we had this building built out debt-free. The renovation on it was absolutely debt-free, and it was one of the greatest things we've ever done. And now we're building a $32 million building debt-free, and we are very close to having all that paid for. It was a major, major step, a turning point in my life. And you know how it happened? By praying in tongues and asking God for an interpretation. I tell you, it's powerful. I know that there are some of you watching this program that you say, but I don't pray in tongues. What do I do? Well, you can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. It's a gift that God wants to give every single person. This isn't just for an elite few. And there's things that you need to understand about it. There's more than what I have time to share right here on this television program. But I'm telling you, this is powerful. And if you don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you can receive it. When you call in to ask for our products, also talk to the people who answer the phone and tell them that you would like to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and this gift of speaking in tongues. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, you've got to do that first. You must be born again first, because the Bible says Jesus is the one who baptizes us with the Holy Spirit. So you have to receive the baptizer before you receive the baptism. You have to receive the giver before you receive the gift. But we can help you. You could receive Jesus as your personal Savior. You can receive this gift of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. And then you can apply these things. And I tell you, it will make a huge, huge difference in your life. You know, if you have never been born again before, we have a book entitled The New You / Holy Spirit, and I'll be glad to give that to you, but you need to call in, pray with our people, receive salvation, receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then we'll give you this book as our gift. As you can tell, I'm not in our studio today, but instead we're up in Woodland Park, Colorado, at the place that I've named the Sanctuary, and we're in the process of building a Charis Bible College facility. And I'm just convinced that this is what God has led me to do. I spent 4 hours today ministering in our Charis Bible College, and I tell you, it's exciting. I had a number of people come up to me and just tell about how this had just totally changed their life. And we see this happen every single day. So I am committed to taking the things that God has shown me and putting it into this Bible college. And so this is the first step. And I believe that together we're going to get it done, and God is going to be changing people's lives.
Imagine a place where people from all walks of life can build upon a firm foundation of God's truth. A place of balance between knowledge of Scripture and practical, hands-on ministry. Where discipleship is a way of life, and fellowship with God and man is like breathing fresh mountain air. Imagine. Caris Bible College, Colorado. Later this year, our new campus in Woodland Park, Colorado, is scheduled to open its doors to a brand new group of potential world changers as they embark on a life-changing journey to carry the good news of God's unconditional love, grace, and mercy to a world that is hungry for truth. Now is the time to call, write, or go to our website to join our family of ministry supporters. No one else can fill your place. Andrew is appealing to those of you who have been touched by this ministry to help him build this building debt-free. Our helpline workers are waiting for your call. Don't miss your opportunity to become a world changer today. Every gift makes you a vital part of everything taking place at the new Caris Bible College campus. Remember, you are the key, and there is no plan B.
Andrew's complete teaching series titled Spirit, Soul, and Body is available on either CD or DVD as seen on our daily TV program. Or you can get this teaching in book form in either English or Spanish. Each is available for a gift of any amount. In addition, this teaching is available in a companion study guide that's perfect for home groups, Sunday schools, and for individual study. Not only is the entire teaching included in the study guide, you can also print off as many copies as you like when you download the PDF files from the included data CD. This valuable resource is available for a gift of $35 or more. Go to awmi.net and click on today's TV offer to see all the ways you can get this teaching. The third audio teaching in today's series is titled The Faith of God, Mind of Christ. It's available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this CD free of charge. We'd also like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled How to Find, Follow, and Fulfill God's Will for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources through our website at awmi.net. While you're there, you can discover more product details and download additional free resources. Or you can order through our helpline Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, remember you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events. In the month of July, he'll be in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference, in College Park, Georgia, Toronto, Ontario, Flushing, New York, and in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, visit our website at awmi.net.